Welcome to Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on all things Warriors. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, I'm Wes Goldberg, Warriors writer for the Mercury News. Today's episode of Locked On Warriors is brought to you by Rock Auto. Go to rockauto.com to get all of the parts you need for your car or truck at a reliably low price. Big show today. I'll get to some questions that you guys tweeted in, including some for a new non-basketball segment. But first, I wanted to start with some key takeaways from Bob Myers' conference call with reporters on Monday, because I'm seeing a lot of conflicting reports about whether or not the Warriors would be willing to use the full mid-level exception or traded player exception, depending on how much the cap drops. And the cap is going to drop. Everybody I talk to, everybody that is an expert on this, they know the cap is going to drop because of the loss in revenue. I guess it's worth pointing out that, and Jeff Siegel said this on Locked On Warriors a few weeks ago, but it's based on a projection of revenue for the following season, not based on the revenue of the prior season. That's how you come up with the salary cap. That said, it would make sense if the NBA wanted to lower the salary cap in order to reduce spending after so much lost revenue, right? Because the Warriors, you lose seven games of gate revenue. That's $3 to $4 million per night that you're losing. Countless concerts and other events at Chase Center that have either been postponed or canceled. You're losing all that money there too. So it would make sense, like, if you're Joe Lacob, if you're this ownership group, you kind of penciled in a certain amount of income. You can budget for that. You can understand, all right, we're going to make X amount of dollars from 41 home games, and we're going to make X amount of dollars from all these events at the arena that we scheduled. And now you lose that money. And the way these budgets work is you lose expected income, right? You have that part of your budget. So it's not like you're losing money you never had. It really is like you've lost money that you thought you were going to have. It was money that you budgeted for, planned on spending, planned on having, that they no longer have, and can't make up. There's no way to make it up. So there's been different reports, and Bob Myers yesterday on the call said that they're going to have to see, quote, the economics of it. Basically, they're going to need to see how much the cap drops, and then what the league wants to do with that. The Warriors are already going to have the highest paid roster in the league next year. They're going to spend like $148 million on their roster next year. That's before, you know, the first round pick and the traded player exception and the mid level exception guy, whatever free agents. I mean, they could be upwards of $180 million. As a team, they were already knowing that they were going to be paying a steep luxury tax bill next year, but that tax bill can now be even steeper if the cap drops and they don't adjust that luxury tax apron or just the payout model in general. And I do wonder if the NBA is going to do that, and they probably should. It's not really fair to these teams that they would have to pay something more in luxury tax than they expected to after this. Everything's been adjusted. It wouldn't shock me if the NBA came back and said, listen, these exponential increases at a certain dollar amount, we're going to get rid of that, or we're going to adjust it in some way. But we don't know. And that's basically what Bob Myers was expressing on the call Monday. He does not know. He has no indication. And so when he's asked a question, will you use the full spending power of the $17.2 million trade exception and the mid-level exception that was projected to be $5.5 million-ish, could be lower now if the cap drops, but we'll see. He doesn't know how to answer that. But one thing I do know is it depends on the player. That asking for a blanket statement, yes, we're going to use the full spending power of this TPE, or no, we're not, that's not how these guys operate. It depends on the player. Are you going to be willing to spend $17 million on Evan Fournier? No, probably not. Maybe before all this, but no, not now. I don't think that Evan Fournier is even close to worth that. Do you go and get a guy like Kelly Olynyk at $12 million a year? Probably not. No, probably not. Even if he's on an expiring contract, I don't see that. I don't know that you want to spend that sort of money in this economy for that sort of player. The one thing we know about this team, this front office, is that they like to be creative with these things, and they like to use them to their fullest extent when the player makes sense. One thing that the Warriors need to take into consideration, and I'm sure are taking into consideration, is regardless of what the salary cap is and what the luxury tax implications are going to be, they will never again have a traded player exception value like this. $17.2 million is an insane amount for this TPE. It's one of the most interesting tools in free agency in the league this offseason. And what you can do with that $17.2 million is acquire a player worth at least that, or you can even exceed that if you do some sort of bridge buy. Let's say you trade that exception for Cody Zeller's expiring, or James Johnson's expiring, combine that with a Kevon Looney type salary or something like that to get up to, you know, $18, $19, $20 million worth of spending power. You could do something like that. But one thing they should do and really look at, if the player is right, if the player at least has trade value, is doing something like that in order to maintain that max cap or that close to max cap slot. That is a valuable cap slot that they won't have if they don't use this TPE to its full extent. We saw the front office do the same thing with the D'Angelo Russell sign and trade. Were they sold on D'Angelo Russell as a fit? No. We saw that in February. But they were sold on maintaining the max cap slot that they would have lost if Kevin Durant had just signed outright with Brooklyn. But by executing the sign and trade and dealing with the hard cap for a season, they were able to maintain long-term flexibility with that extra max cap slot, which allows them to get a guy like Andrew Wiggins. So even if you have to eat some money now and pay a really steep luxury tax bill, this front office is shown to be forward-looking. So maybe you eat it. You eat the money now. But long-term, you maintain that cap slot, where otherwise you might not. And either you get a good player with that, a player who you could build with, a building block type, or you get a player who could be really valuable in a trade package for, say, Giannis or whatever superstar if the Warriors go superstar chasing again. We all look at Andrew Wiggins as the guy who they would have to trade for Giannis. That's not necessarily true depending on what they do with this TPE. Andrew Wiggins is a negative asset at this point. I don't see him being involved in a trade for a superstar, or at least the linchpin of a trade for a superstar. I don't see that. He's not worth that. He'll be a fine player. He's not going to be worth $27 million probably ever. But the player that you get with this TPE could be. Or the salary that you get back in this traded player exception and that salary slot on your roster that now you can tinker with and play with and use like the Warriors did with D'Angelo Russell. Maybe you flip that player down the line for another player who makes a little bit more sense. I just think it makes a lot of sense for the Warriors to maximize this traded player exception. Of course, it's not my money. That's something that this ownership group is going to have to take care of. But one thing I know is Bob Myers is thinking about this because he's been creative and forward-looking with this stuff before. And this is the sales pitch to Joe Lacob and the ownership group. We need this. If you want to win championships during this championship window, Steph's window, for the next 3-4 years, we need this. Okay? This is how you over-deliver value on the roster. This is how you make the most of this thing. You've never been afraid to spend before. Don't be afraid to spend now when there's championships on the line. I've got some mailbag questions coming up, but first, with the ever-increasing numbers of vehicle makes and models, it can be impossible to stock all the parts that you need at a traditional store. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questions while waiting for an employee you've never met to order the parts on his or her computer, choosing only the brands that are in his or her warehouse? Hey, it's 2020. You have a computer too, and it has access to rockauto.com. Rockauto.com is a family business serving auto parts to customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or your daily driver, get everything that you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all of the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices that you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low without the markup that you find at these chain stores. So go to rockauto.com right now and see all of the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Support the people who support us. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all of the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. I'll get to some basketball topics later on, but since the Warriors season is over, we've got a really long offseason in front of us to rehash a lot of the same topics. I'm already starting to see a lot of the same questions pop up. Continue to bring them in, continue to get creative with your questions, but I'm also starting a new mailbag segment dedicated to non-basketball stuff. So we'll start with this question from Omar, who writes in, Mexican food versus Korean food. What's better? Great question, Omar. Look, I love bulgogi. I love some Korean fried chicken, especially out here in San Francisco. You can find some really good stuff. There's a Korean food place on my block here in San Francisco. I'm not a big kimchi guy. And so all the like the accoutrements that come with all the, when you go to a Korean barbecue spot or something like that, I don't really get the most out of that. I like the cooking. I like the marinades. I like kind of that sweet meat kind of thing, but I can eat that all day. I don't get the most out of all the side dishes, like the seaweed stuff and the kimchi and the pickled this and that. I just leave it alone. So I'm not sure I'm the guy who is fully in on Korean food. That said, Mexican food is one of my favorite foods. That wasn't even close. Top three easily for me. I can't live without burritos. I eat tacos probably once a week. Chips and dip, chips and salsa, chips and guacamole, all that stuff. Like, I am all in on Mexican food. There's a difference between Mexican food and Tex-Mex, okay? I do like the Mexican-style tacos without the cheese and all the sour cream and stuff. That's more of a Tex-Mex thing, all right? I like a good street taco with, you know, chicken or steak with just the onions and cilantro on top, some hot sauce, boom, serve it with radishes and lime, good to go. I can eat that, I could probably eat that every day. So, and then you go out to the Mission. And I'm going to include that in the Mexican food stuff. I mean, a Mission-style burrito? Yeah, 100%. It doesn't really get better than that. So, Omar, definitely Mexican food over Korean food, though I love Korean food. I just don't get the most out of it. Second question, are hot dogs sandwiches? Why or why not? They're not sandwiches. They are tacos. Hot dogs are tacos to me. They have the same shape. You have an open end on one end. You have a folded end on the other. You put the meat inside. A hot dog is a taco, people. And I don't know why we haven't, as a society, decided on that. It's not a sandwich. A sandwich has two slices of bread and a bunch of stuff inside. And you have layers. Sandwiches are layered. That's the thing about sandwiches. Okay? Even on a hoagie roll where you do have the one end is cut and one end is intact, it's still a layered situation. And yeah, you layer tacos, and you can layer hot dogs depending on what kind of toppings you want. You want to get crazy, go for it. But it's layered differently. Right? A sandwich is layered from bread to bread, where the hot dog or the taco is layered from the connected end of the carrier vertical to the open air part of it. So it's more like an open face sandwich, if anything. But think about holding a hot dog and think about holding a taco. You hold it the same exact way. Shaquille O'Neal writes in, three movie characters that you wish were real. Jack Bauer. I don't know if that counts. Did they make a 24 movie? I think they did. Jack Bauer. Feel like we can use him now. He seems like a guy that we should have around. Maybe Nicolas Cage's character from National Treasure. He seems like he could like help a little bit right now, you know? Maybe find something in the Constitution or some old document that would sort of fix what's going on in the White House right now. I don't know. One of those guys. And then, I don't know, Olaf from Frozen. He seems like a cool guy. And then the turtle from Finding Nemo. We'll wrap up today with some basketball questions. But first, in these uncertain times when we can't get to the store or go out for a meal at our favorite restaurant, we often end up searching the deepest depths of our kitchen for a snack. Stop eating those who-knows-how-old crackers. Put down the chips. Instead, reach for something healthy and delicious. They're called Built Bars. This is the best-tasting protein bar I've ever had. Trust me, I've tried a lot of them. A protein bar covered in 100% real chocolate that tastes like candy, but it's good for you. Built Bar tastes like a candy bar while delivering fewer sugars and carbs, making it better tasting and better for you than any of the competitors. With 16 amazing flavors like peanut butter chocolate, mint brownie, and my personal favorite, orange chocolate cream, Built Bar is like a cheat code for health-conscious men and women. These bars are low-calorie, they're low-sugar, while also being high in protein and fiber, making them perfect for ketogenic and other low-carb diets. So go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON, you'll get $10 off your first order. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON, one word, for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. Look, I have ordered now, I've gone through a whole box myself, and I've ordered now a box of these Built Bars for two different people in my family, and they love them. This is an awesome product. If you're a protein bar person, If you've ever dabbled with protein bars, if you've done the Clif Bar thing, the Quest Bar thing, whatever, try Built Bars. Again, promo code LOCKEDON at BuiltBar.com for $10 off your first order. Remember to subscribe to new episodes of Locked On Warriors on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts, where you can rate us, review us, say nice things about us. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to get $10 off your first box of Built Bars at BuiltBar.com. Don't forget to support our friends at RockAuto.com if you are doing anything to your car or truck. DJ writes in, Aaron Naismith draft possibility? Look, so Aaron Naismith, he is a wing from Vanderbilt, sophomore wing, 20 years old, 6'6", 6'10 wingspan, solid frame, great shooter, great outside shooter. I mean, he shot over 50% on more than 100 three-pointer attempts last year at Vanderbilt. Kind of has got this Danny Green comparison, okay? I think, look, I don't know what the possibility of them drafting Naismith. Them doing that in the top five seems like a reach. Now, if they trade back, maybe. I don't anticipate the Warriors trading back all that much. I don't think that they're going to trade out of the lottery or to the end of the lottery. If they do trade back, it might be a couple of spots. But I do think they're going to stay in the top half of the lottery. That's my gut feeling. But the one thing we know about the Warriors, I'm confident that their draft board is going to look very different than a lot of other draft boards. They have been working on this draft since December. In a real way, knowing that they're going to be picking probably at the top of the draft, in the top half of the lottery. Ever since Steph was hurt, and it was clear what that team was without him, they knew that this was basically a lost season. I don't know that a guy like Aaron Naismith cracks their top 5, 6, or 7, but he could. Look, there are things that you like about Aaron Naismith. Again, that shooting range is unbelievable. He's a smart player, makes good reads, solid fundamentals. He can attack closeouts, good size and strength, like I said. He's a good role guy. I just think there's obvious questions with his upside. He doesn't have great, footwork. He doesn't really separate himself. He doesn't get to the rim very well at all. He's not a great passer with the ball in his hands. He reminds me of just a guy who is maybe a third or fourth option on offense. You kick out to him. And, he can attack a closeout, but he's not going to do a whole lot more. He's not going to run offense for you, probably. Defensively, there's things you like about him, but he's more of one of these guys that looks the part. He's not as athletic as you'd like, so he could get burnt by some of these elite wings. That said, what the Warriors need with this pick is somebody who can come in and excel in a role right away and potentially grow into a franchise player. I don't mean to throw around this comparison lightly, but this is a Kawhi Leonard type of thing where you could draft Aaron Naismith, know that he's going to be a good 3-and-D player for you probably. That jump shot projects well. Again, fundamentals are sound. He's got a good stroke. That projects well, and the stats are overwhelming from college. He does provide the length that they are looking to add on this team, okay? That's important. He's a guy who could play some 3, maybe some small ball 4 for you. But if he could do that right away, he does have the makeup of a guy who could participate and contribute in a playoff situation. You do that for a couple of years, maybe they're able to develop him, behind closed doors, and he could eventually blossom in the way that maybe Kawhi did. There's a little bit of Paul George to his game. He reminds me a little bit of Paul George. So maybe Aaron Naismith is possible. Like I said, I believe strongly that the Warriors draft board is going to look very different than a lot of teams picking in the top five. Is Naismith a part of that? I don't know. But the teams that tend to draft well, teams like the Spurs, teams like the Heat, their drafts and their draft boards always tend to look a little bit different. When the Spurs drafted Kawhi, that was controversial. They first moved George Hill, a good point guard, to go get him. And Kawhi, people had questions about him. When the Heat drafted Bam at the end of the lottery, Bam Adebayo, people were like, who is this guy? The backup center on Kentucky? Like, why are they doing that? And look how that turned out. He's one of the five most valuable centers in the league right now. All-star player. So the Warriors could reach. There's some guys that are in the mix there, but they put a lot of work in on this draft. So, you know, I think they're confident in where they're at. Shaquille O'Neal tagged me and Connor Letourneau, the writer for the San Francisco Chronicle, who's often on my show, asking which one of us said that Vince Carter was better than Antoine Jameson. That would have been Connor. Look, one of my takes is that, and I think that's a popular take, that the popular opinion, the consensus is that Vince Carter had a better career than Antoine Jameson. I argue that Antoine Jameson had a better career than Vince Carter, and that if you're going to put Vince in the Hall of Fame, you should probably put Antoine Jameson in the Hall of Fame. But one of my takes is that Vince Carter is not a Hall of Famer. We assume that he is because people have been saying it for so long. Oh, future Hall of Famer, Vince Carter, look how long he's played in the league. But if you start with your list of accomplishments for Vince Carter, number one on the list is dunk contest. Maybe you could make number one on the list played in the league for 20 years and transitioned from star player to role player. What about the players who don't have to transition from star player to role player? We're giving him credit for that? From playing at a Hall of Fame level for a couple of seasons and then becoming a role player? No. And we just have this, it's a, this thing that's sort of baked into the conversation about Vince Carter. Oh, future Hall of Famer. And by the way, he's going to be in the Hall of Fame. That's been decided almost. He'll probably be the first ballot Hall of Famer. I think that's insane. If you look at his career accomplishments versus every other first ballot Hall of Famer, he's not even close, all right? Connor's argument is that, okay, he's got cultural importance. Fine, no doubt, whatever. It doesn't make you a first ballot Hall of Famer. And I like Vince Carter. I've covered Vince Carter. When he was in Sacramento, I covered him. No problem with Vince Carter. Personally, no problem with Vince Carter. But when you start going down the resume, it just, you know, if you do a player A, player B type thing, his resume is not Hall of Fame worthy. It just isn't. You don't get to win a dunk contest and get in. Derrick Jones Jr. is not going into the Hall of Fame. It's not happening. All right, that'll wrap it up for today. Thanks to everybody who sent in mailbag questions, basketball or non-basketball related. Really enjoyed the not basketball stuff. We're going to need topics here. Hopefully that was, you got something from that. Continue to send in any questions that you may have regarding anything. I'll answer them once a week here on Locked On Warriors. Thanks for listening. Stay safe.